how much did our Heavenly Father forgive us our wrong? See, experiencing God's forgiveness doesn't make forgiveness easy, but it does make it possible. I want to start this morning with this question. What would you do to extend your life? What would you do? What line would you be willing to cross? Some of you would do anything. I can see it in your black hearts right now. You would do just about anything to add another 10 or 15 or 20 years to that life of yours. The truth is, we kind of do a lot of things to try and extend our life in the spirit of longevity, you know? We take supplements, we'll get gym memberships, we'll inject our bodies with stuff, we'll get surgeries, we'll believe anything as long as it comes up on Instagram, which everybody who pops up on Instagram is always telling the truth, right? So, for instance, give you an example. I have a special supplement that's made out of warm yak's milk. And you guys know that we are building, you know, we're trying to fundraise for a building. And so after service to fundraise for the building, I am selling shots of warm yak's milk, hair and all. And if you buy that supplement and take it, not only will you fund the building, but you'll actually have longevity. You'll extend your life by another 5 or 10 years. You would not believe how many people from the first and second service were looking for the table after church. We'll believe anything in the spirit of longevity. Like, yes, that's got to be it. I'm going to buy that. It's going to make me feel better. Who has been suckered into that? Come on, I'll raise my hand. Yeah. We all have, and we'll do just about anything as long as it extends our life. But let me just ask you this question. What if it was simpler than that? What if extending our life had to do with a relationship? What if longevity had to do with a relationship? Today we're in our series, It's Complicated, and we all know that relationships can be complicated. How many know what I'm talking about? Because we're dealing with imperfect people. Nobody in this room, but all of the heathens and the reprobates you deal with make relationships complicated. You agree with me there? You guys are all perfect. You agreed with that? Lord, help them. Help them. And today we're going to talk about one of the most complicated relationship in our lives, and that is relationships with mom and dad. Just by show of hands, how many of you have parents? It's a trick question. All of you do, unless they've all passed away. You did, okay? That's something we all have in common, and that means that relationships with our parents can be complicated. Relationship with mom and dad's relationship with the kids, that can be complicated because of a lot of different reasons. And when I say that, for some of you, it conjures up a whole different ball of emotions. For parents, you're like, good, my kids need to hear this message. Go sit in the front row right now. And for some of you, you're like, I don't want to talk about my parents because my parents are the worst. I hate my parents because they don't let me do whatever I want. Maybe for some of you, you're like, well, this doesn't really pertain to me because my parents have passed away and they're gone. Or maybe for some of you, you don't even know who your parents are. And so you have that sense of abandonment and wonder, like, why didn't anybody love me? Or maybe for some of you, you actually have a lot of hurt when I say that. So a lot of abuse or you know, mental or emotional or physical abuse came from your parents. And so that conjures up this whole ball of emotions, like, oh, I hate them because of this wound, and whatever situation you're in, I just want you to know that God has something to say about that. In His Word, He has something to teach us about how to deal with our parents. And I would even bring into this subject, you know, grandparents and in-laws would fall into this category. And so as we think about that, what are we going to do in our life, all of us having these different relationships? Now, I've had great parents, not to brag, but I have had great parents. My mom has since passed away about 14 plus years ago, and she died pretty young. But my mom was literally the nicest person you would ever meet in your entire life. Nicer than your mom. I said it. And the problem was that my mom was a hoarder. She hoarded everything. It was gross. I literally remember waiting for her to pick me up at school in the station wagon or the big Dodge van we had. Different times, we had different cars. And then when they would open the door to get in the car, trash would literally fall out in front of the other kids. Like, that's how I grew up. It was terrible. It's kind of funny, actually. A little more time in third service because I was going to be able to say a little bit more things than I could the first two services. It's kind of funny because my wife is so polar opposite. She's such a clean, you know, neat freak. Like, everything's got to be in order. Like, living... My brain is split in half. One is a hoarder and one's a neat freak. But my mom was great. Loved my mom. My dad, I have a great relationship with my dad. He's still living and surprising because he's literally fallen off three roofs, a ladder, and several trees. But nevertheless, he's still ticking. And I have a great relationship with my dad, but the problem is when we were younger, my dad was a workaholic. Constantly gone for work. And trying to, you know, bang out a buck, and it made it complicated. No matter what situation you are with your parents, it's complicated in your own way because of the nuances of your own relationship or something that's happened or something that you wish happened but didn't. So it can be difficult in our lives. This is such an important topic and such an important issue, not only to God, but should be to us. God put it in the Big Ten, in the Big Ten Commandments. In fact, right after he talks about how we're supposed to deal with him, the first four commandments, and right after he talks about that, and right before he talks about how we're supposed to deal with other people, he gives us the fifth commandment, which is this, Exodus chapter 20. He says, honor, everyone say honor.
Honor.
Honor. You guys got to get with the program here. Ready? Honor.
Honor.
There we go. Honor your pastor when he tells you to say honor. Honor your father and your mother so that, here's the promise, if we do that, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So there's a promise. See, God told the Israelites when he freed them from captivity, I'm going to send you into the promised land, and I'm going to set some rules called the law. These are the things you're to follow, and one of them was this. You need to honor your mother and your father so that when you go into the land the Lord your God's giving you, you're going to have a great life. Not a perfect life, because that doesn't come this side of heaven, but a great life, a long life. Now, I've been a pastor for a couple of days now. And I've come to this conclusion that God never does anything by accident. Like, I have this theological theory that I think I can prove through Scripture. God has never in his eternal life, in his infinite wisdom, has never said the words, whoops-a-daisy. He's never like, I didn't mean for that to happen at all. He's never said, so when I read the Ten Commandments, I don't think it's an accident that right after the fifth commandment, God gives us the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Just take a minute and absorb that. Because I just imagine God and his Holy Trinity up there with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And like, okay, we got to get some laws for these crazy people down here. And we got to get them saying, don't have any idols, serve the Lord your God. Right? And now, honor your father and mother. And they're like, well, should we leave it there? And then one of them is like, no. Because if we do, people are going to die. Because the parents are going to kill the kids, or the kids are going to kill the parents. So we better put the next one up there. You shall not murder. No murder. Some of you really need to hear that. No murder. Jesus took it a step further. He said, if you hate in your heart, you're guilty of murder. Honor your father and your mother so that it may go well with you. In fact, the Apostle Paul said later on in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was one of the writers of the New Testament, a great man who had his life transformed by Jesus and did amazing things for God. He wrote much of the New Testament. He later on says, we don't have time to read the verse this morning, he says, one of the signs of the end times that Jesus coming is coming closer, Jesus' second coming is coming closer, is that they will be disobedient to their parents.
So the next time you're dealing with that really rebellious child, or you're being really rebellious, just look out the window and look to the clouds, because he's coming soon. Deal with you and your rebellion. It's an important topic to God, and should be an important topic to us, this relationship that can often be complicated. It's reiterated in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians, and it says this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. There's a promise that comes from it, and it's this: so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Long life on the earth. Now, this is not a blanket statement from God, meaning that every person that obeys their parent is a good child is going to live to be 100. Because I personally have known people who had great relationships with their parents, were very honoring, but they had a short life. I also know people who were terrible to their parents and lived a long life. But we know that God's word doesn't return void, and the principle is here that if you want to actually have God bless your life, one of the requirements is that we obey the command to honor our father and our mother so that it may go well with us. It may go well for us because God wants to work in our life. You see, we honor our parents even when it's complicated because it's right. Because it's right. Be so much easier if God said, honor your father and your mother when they do nice things for you. And they take you to Disneyland. And they buy you, you know, you're 50 years old and you're mad because your parents haven't taken you to Disneyland. It'd be much easier if he said, do it when your parents are perfect. But no, the passage in Exodus is clear. Honor your father and mother, period. Not because they did something, but because God said something. It is right. It's right to do that. You know, I'm blessed with 4 children and 4 grandchildren and many, many more to come. Let's pray for that right now, Lord Jesus. People often ask me, Pastor Zach, how do you have such amazing kids? Like, they're like angels from heaven, flapping their wings about, doing glorious things. They're like perfect. And I just kind of blush a little bit, and I'm like, well, it's a secret. And then they say, well, what's the secret? And I'm always hesitant to tell them, but I feel like God's really put it on my heart to share with you the secret of why my kids are so amazing. Would you guys like to know why? You want to know the secret to help you with your parenting? Everybody say, yes, tell me. Yes. I'm glad you asked me, because every night before they would go to bed, I would open up the Bible and I would read them Proverbs chapter 30. It says, the eye that mocks the father and despises a mother's instructions will be plucked out by ravens of the valley and eaten by vultures. And then I would say, nighty night, and close the door. And my kids have been amazing. Amazing children. Honor your father and your mother. What does that look like? What does it mean to honor our parents? We're going to answer that, but I think it's first important for us to discuss what it is not. What honoring your parents is not. And again, I would include grandparents, I would include in-laws in this, I would include those relationships with people who are senior to us in life. And I want to be clear on a few things, because I've actually, in the past few months, had to counsel many married couples in dealing with their parents. And how to deal with their adult parents and their adults and have families, and how that could be so complicated. So here's what it's not. It's not blind obedience in adulthood. Now, as a child, you should honor your parents. You should obey them because that's right before the Lord. But as an adult, when you reach the age of accountability, you don't just blindly obey them, because you have to make your own decisions for your family and your life, and you honor them, but you still make your own decisions. And I know that sometimes that's really difficult. Sometimes that might even seem impossible to do, but it can be done. Honor is not approval of sinful or destructive choices. I've had to deal with many children, teenagers, and adults whose parents are doing very sinful and destructive things. And so that's not honoring by approving and participating in those things. We need to have boundaries. We're going to talk about that in a minute. When God brought the people out of Egypt, out of slavery, and he was taking them to the promised land, he said, don't become like the nations that you're going to actually conquer, because I'm going to expel wickedness from the land. So don't be like them. Don't bow down to their idols, and don't get involved in their immorality and their sexual things and all the stuff that they're doing, because, you know, serve me. God told them that. And you know what they did? Exactly what God told them not to. And so they became captive to other nations because of it. And the prophet Ezekiel told them this in Ezekiel chapter 20. He says, then I warned them, their children, not to follow in their parents' footsteps. Don't follow the sinful and destructive practices. That's what God was telling them. Defiling themselves with their idols. He said, I am the Lord your God. I told them, follow my decrees, pay attention to my regulations, and keep my Sabbaths holy, for they are a sign to remind you that I am the Lord your God. In other words, follow me. I don't follow my parents into destruction and sinful behavior. I honor them, and I should follow. If they're going to the Lord's house and follow Jesus, I need to follow them that way. But if they're following wickedness, I don't follow them. Why? Because I ultimately follow the Lord. There's a difference. I want you to understand that, because I can't tell you how many times people have struggled with that difference. Like, well, but they're my parents. No. We don't follow into those ways. And honor is not staying in an abusive relationship. It's not staying in an abusive relationship. And many times we get ourselves trapped because we feel like, oh, they're my parents or they're my kids, and we kind of have this problem. This goes for you, your kids, and your grandkids. We don't stay in abusive, whether that's mental abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. I have to have boundaries. That's not honor. There's no guilt in keeping your distance from a relationship that is abusive, whether that's physically or a manipulative type of a relationship where I need to keep my distance and actually have some things, as long as it's not motivated by vengeance. Some people get motivated by vengeance, and they try to get back at their in-laws or their parents. Like, well, you didn't buy us, dinner, so you're not going to see the grandkids for 4 months. Well, that's vengeance. We don't operate that way as God's people. That wouldn't be honoring at all. Or if they've done something, that was uncomfortable or whatever, you have to recognize how to balance those things. And I think the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom if you ask him. And honor is not compromising your marriage. I could preach a whole message just on that right there. It's not compromising your marriage, your faith, or calling to keep everybody happy. I've had to counsel many married couples because it becomes a difficulty, if I can just say this real quick about marriage, it becomes a difficulty for some because they don't know how to navigate the nuances between now I'm married and I still have parents. And so there's this principle in the Bible called leave and cleave. I leave my father and mother and I cleave to my spouse. The Bible says that when a husband and wife come together in marriage, when a man marries a woman and a woman marries a man, godly marriage, they come together. The Bible says, let no one separate what God has brought together, right? And so listen to me, you married people, no matter what age you are, when you come together with your spouse, you are now one person, not two individuals. And so when you come together, your number one ministry, your number one relationship, besides your relationship to God, is your relationship with your spouse, not your relationship with your parents. You don't run to mom and dad and bash your spouse. You don't run to mom and dad and talk, trash about them. That's not how it works. You honor your spouse, but you still honor your parents, and there's a relationship boundary there. So that means you're no longer a daddy's girl, and you're no longer a mama's boy. In fact, I just feel like God would tell me to tell you, you should have never been a mama's boy in the first place. And if you are, come after service, and I will lay hands upon you and help you with that affliction. You see, biblical honor always walks with truth, wisdom, and healthy boundaries. Truth, wisdom, and healthy boundaries. You should have boundaries. And just quickly, I want to give you six boundaries that I think you should have, godly boundaries in your life. So I'm going to list them out quickly. You can define them, you know, work them out for yourself, but write them down because they are these. Physical boundaries, you need to have physical boundaries, things that should not happen and you should not do or let happen with your body. Emotional boundaries, you should be careful with your emotions and have boundaries in regards to that. And mental boundaries and how you think and how you process. Time boundaries, you should have boundaries with your material possessions. You should be a good steward. I've seen it both ways where parents manipulate the kids and kind of suck out the resources, and the kids manipulate the parents and try to suck out the resource, and becomes a problem in life, and you got to have those boundaries. You have spiritual boundaries, and what comes a priority in your family, which should be your faith. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've got boundaries. Those are healthy boundaries. You need to create those boundaries, and you can do it with love and respect and honor. You can do that. And as you do that, I mean, there's lots of things I can give you and I can talk to you about. There are two boundary skills that I want to talk to you about this morning. Many boundary skills I can give you, but two that I see are often at the forefront of many relationships, and that's this. Learn when to say yes and when to say no. Man, people struggle with that. You need to learn when to say yes, when to say no for adult children to your parents and parents to your children. You need to understand that. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And so as we think about that, we need to know when to say yes and when to say no. And if you don't know how to do that, get godly counsel from somebody. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you guidance. God, what is appropriate here? Help me to understand it and learn when to say yes and when to say no. That's difficult for some people because they want to make mom and dad happy still. But that's not always possible. And mom and dad don't know when to say no to their kids because they want to let, you know, little Johnny make decisions for his life. He's 12. You're the parent. Come on, somebody. You're the parent. He's 12. He's going to kill himself on accident, but he's going to kill himself. You're going to rot his brain playing hours and hours upon of video games, rot his brain playing Call of Duty and all, you know, bricklaying, whatever it's called. Dude, say no. But he's going to be so mad. Let him throw a tantrum. Then kick him in the butt and say, knock it off. Be a man. I didn't give that to the other services, but that one was free. Like you want, so much I could say about that. You wonder why, you know, you got so many problems at home. The Bible says that the person that doesn't discipline their children hates them. Do you know that? Hates them. You are the parent. They are not. Learn when to say yes and when to say no. And the other one is this. You need to discern manipulation. Discern when you're being manipulated or when you are manipulating. I've seen it time and time again where parents try to manipulate the relationship with their kids or with other kids or with grandkids or whatever, and they try to manipulate. Well, you spend this much time, and now you need to spend this. That's manipulation. Manipulation is not love. It's a way of control. You shouldn't do that with your kids, and kids, you shouldn't do that with your parents. You shouldn't do it with your grandkids. You shouldn't do it with your in-laws. We don't manipulate. We let our yes be yes and our no be no. Discern manipulation and say, God, give me the understanding on how to deal with this so that I might have healthy boundaries. This is not a formula guaranteeing perfect relationships, but there are godly principles that when applied to our life, they can help us to honor our father and mother and honor our children in a way that's approved by God and blessed by God. And we should want these things in our life. So as we think about what it's not, then we ask the question, well, what does honoring your parents mean? What does it really mean in real time? How do I live that out? Because for some of you, maybe it's impossible. You have unbelieving parents. I'm telling you right now, I have counseled many adult couples over the past several months on how to deal with their adult parents because they were doing sinful things, wrong things. It was a problem with manipulation. It was a problem with this. It was a problem with finances. And I don't know how to deal with this. So how do we do this in real time so that I might honor God in doing it, no matter how hurtful or painful or awkward it might be? So let me just give you a few things. Honoring your parents means choosing respect over disrespect. Choosing respect over disrespect. It was never allowed. I was a youth pastor for many years, and I could warp young minds like nobody's business. It's a gift. And so as a youth pastor, I dealt with both sides, the kids and the parents. And I remember one specific family where the parents and the kids would both say an argument that the kid would say to the mom and dad, "I hate you." And they're like, "Well, I hate you back." Wow. No! What are you doing? Come here, so I gotta slap somebody right now. What are you doing? We don't say that. In my house, that was potty mouth. You wanna see my wrath come out? Talk to your mom that way. No, 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 no. You see a missing child on the back of a milk carton real soon. What happened to your son? I don't know. Here's the truth. God chose your parents. You didn't. So don't dishonor what God chose and told you to honor, no matter how flawed they are. And I'm not fooling anybody or fooling myself. I know some parents do atrocious things. I know. I've seen it. I've sat across from it. I've watched it. I've counseled it. I've seen it break people. But it should never bring us to a place of dishonor, because God chose them. You might pray and say, "God, why? Why these parents? Why these ones?" You could pray that. You can ask God. He's probably not going to tell you. But you can ask him. And through it, God can teach you how to trust him over your parents, if that's the situation. The Bible says in Proverbs that when it comes to dealing with our parents, it said, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she's old." This whole aspect of honoring our parents is so ingrained throughout Scripture that it's something we should bring into our life. And I think it's lost a lot of its seriousness and holiness and zest within our culture. Even though our parents do flawed things, they say things, they do things. Our kids do crazy things. Not my kids, but other kids. And I know. The truth is, no matter what age you are, you're not the boss of your parents. I've seen some very dishonoring and disrespectful things said to parents, especially as they're aged. And they almost become like a bother and a nuisance to the children. The Bible says that when dealing with elderly people and people who are above us in age, seniors among us, to stand up in the presence of the elderly and show respect for the aged. Fear God, I'm the Lord. This is a place in which we honor those people who are above us. Not because they do everything right, because they don't, but because it's right. Because it's right. And honor is choosing care over caring less. Over the past 15 years, my wife and I have had the privilege of having my wife's Nana and my in-laws live with us. For several years, our Nana lived with us. She was aging. She's still alive, but she needs professional help. She's in her 90s now. But during that time, she was dealing with dementia. She was going blind. She lived with us for many years, and we were able to care for her. We felt like that was right for us to do. And then now my in-laws live in a little addition next to my house. And they live with us. We're honored to do that. I tell my father-in-law, "Hey, as long as you mow the lawn and take care of you, you can stay here." And I tell him, "It hurts me more than it hurts you, but these are some chores you need to do around the house." And I say it with honor. Some people want to forget their parents. They want to put them in a home when they become elderly and forget them and not visit them and not have anything to do with them. I think that is wrong as well. The Bible talks about dealing with widows, and I think it pertains to dealing with the relationship with our parents. In 1 Timothy, it says this, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice," putting your faith into practice, "by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God." Repaying them. Because it's pleasing to God. honoring our parents is so crucial to our faith. It's part of how we demonstrate our faith in Jesus Christ. You might not like your parents. You might have terrible parents. You might say, you know, God, why didn't you give me rich parents? God, I'm just praying that I'd be a trust fund baby. There's a couple in our church named Bill and Diane, and just recently, Diane's mom passed away at the age of 99, and I was honored to be at a little memorial for her. And what was a greater honor is watching Bill and Diane care for her in these last few years of her life. And what an honor. I think God honors them because of that. Great deep love that they had for her and cared for her and went to the home, the one of the places, Atria, where we do a service twice a month. Atria and Vineyard Ranch, we do service for elderly people in the retirement facility. Why? Because I believe God wants us to honor those people and care for those people. And if it's our parents and grandparents, then we should do it all the more. Because you'd be surprised how many of those people are forgotten and left. In fact, if you want to be part of that ministry at all, you can contact us at the office and we can get you the information. You come out and serve and love those people. Where some of them, they beg us, please don't stop doing the service because that's the only church service they get. The Bible says a lot about taking care of our relatives and our family. It says this in 1 Timothy. It says, but those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. I can't imagine a state of being worse than unbeliever. An unbeliever is a person who has no hope of salvation. But God says what's worse than that is having salvation and knowing what you ought to do, and you don't do anything to be obedient towards it. You don't honor them. You don't care for them. Now, I know for not all of us are going to have a situation like I'm in where you have an opportunity to care for, you know, your grandmother and in-laws and things like that. I get it. Maybe not the resources or whatever. But this whole aspect, like, hey, what God, what can I do? What would you want me to do? What would you want me to do to help them and honor them? How can I do that? And maybe for you it's impossible because the relationship is broken or damaged or hurting, but you can do it in your heart, which leads me to this. Honor is choosing forgiveness over bitterness. Over bitterness. I spent many years working at a funeral home while I was going through Bible college early on in my ministry. And I remember sitting there, and I'm dealing with people at some of the most broken times of their life when someone has passed away and someone's moved from this life to the next. And I sat there at a table with a man and a few family members, and he kind of had an angry look on his face. And I sat down and said, what can we do? How can I help you to provide an amazing service, a memory of life for your father? And he says, I hated my dad. I don't care what you do with him. I called another family one time, and I dealt with them, and they said, "Come, can you do the graveside service for us?" I said, "Sure. What do you want?" And they told me, and so I got there, and I was the only one that came. It was me and the guy driving the tractor who was going to bury the casket. His own kids didn't come. I don't know what happened in those relationships to cause such anger and such unforgiveness and such bitterness, but I do know this, that that's not God's way. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. It corrupts many. Do you know what the root of bitterness is? Hear me, because some of you really need this right now. The root of bitterness is unforgiveness. That's the root of bitterness. And we hold on. For some of you, your parents have maybe done atrocious things, or maybe you're just so mad at them because they didn't do something. Maybe you're mad at them because they got a divorce. I don't know, whatever it is. And we hang on to this unforgiveness like it's a power tool because we say, well, if I forgive them, then that makes what they did right. So I'm going to hold on to this unforgiveness so that they'll know what they did was wrong. I bet you that they already know that it was wrong. Right after Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us, he took it deeper and he said this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, Jesus is not saying that his grace is contingent upon us forgiving our parents, because the grace of God is free and it comes through faith in Christ alone. However, we cannot receive what we are not willing to give. That brings us to the story of the unmerciful servant. The unmerciful servant received forgiveness for his debt from the king, and he turned around and found another servant who owed him and would not forgive him what he had been so richly forgiven. And because of that, he was cast out into judgment. Don't be that person. We have to learn to forgive. Maybe that's impossible for you. Maybe you think that there's no way that I can do that. There's no way that that can become part of my life. Jesus taught us to forgive. Again, it would be so much easier if we were told, forgive them, love them when they are good, and when they buy you stuff, and when they take care of you, and when they're kind. That'd be nice with everybody, wouldn't it? But he says, no, honor them, period. Now, maybe you're here today, and the hurt for you and the relationship is very real. Very painful. Maybe impossible to actually reconcile in person. Maybe it's not safe for you. You can still forgive in your heart. And you can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit and stop holding the grudge of bitterness. Stop holding this power trip of like, what they did was wrong. Yeah, 100% probably was wrong. But how much did our Heavenly Father forgive us our wrong? Holding on to unforgiveness helps no one. See, experiencing God's forgiveness doesn't make forgiveness easy, but it does make it possible.